I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we kick off hour number 2 of Gwen and Chris. Happy Monday to you. And by the way, don't be grumbling about a Monday. We talk about this all the time. If you're going to be unhappy on Mondays, then you're going to be unhappy for 1/7 of your life. It's not worth it. Enjoy your day.
What? Who? Huh? 1/7?
Yes, because Mondays are 1/7 of your life.
Oh.
So don't just automatically hate Monday. Make something out of it. Enjoy yourself. Have some fun. And, you know, sure, it's the start of the work week, but could be worse.
Who are you?
Might not be working at all.
That's true. I will give you that.
All right, Scraby.
There was many times where I was like, I would kill to have a job right now. And then you get the job and you're like, I would kill to have a day off right now.
Crap, I got to go to work.
Yeah.
Welcome into the program. Hour number 2, got a daily gambit coming up shortly. I had one of the worst weeks I've ever seen. Good thing we don't actually spend money on this daily gambit segment, but...
I should.
You should have last week. You had a good week. I had a terrible week. We'll break all that down. On the scoreboard, Braves 9-0 over the White Sox. That's a final rain-shortened game. Braves are going to be awfully tough to beat all year long. White Sox are going to find it awfully tough to win. I don't think they've won yet. They're now 0-4. The Rockies are not going to be threatening anybody, nor did they threaten anyone today. They got shut out by the Cubs 5-0. Nolan Jones double error. Nolan Jones playing left field. How about this, Scrabe? Rockies are 1-4, which is not surprising. Nolan Jones in 5 games already has 4 errors.
Oh, man.
God.
Oh, he's on my fantasy team. Thank goodness we don't have defensive.
You don't count that stuff.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
That's bad.
There might be a fielder out there that's worse than Max Muncy. And it's apparently Nolan Jones.
Oh, Gilberto had something to say about that on X the other day.
About my Max Muncy love?
Yeah, he just basically said something like, Max Muncy has 190 home runs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He can't play field, third base,
can't
though.
Field the ball.
I've never said that he couldn't hit. He can hit.
That's true.
Unfortunately, he should be a DH. The Dodgers just can't play him at DH because they have that other guy. You know.
Oh, Shohei Ohtani.
Yes, that guy.
I forgot about him for half a second.
I know you did. Pirates are trying to go to 5-0. They lead the Nats 3-1, top of 7. That is the day baseball. Padres and Cardinals tonight. Matt Waldron makes his first start of the year for the Friars. Kyle Gibson, 15-game winner last year with Baltimore, starts for St. Louis. And we'll have the game on following our program. Sammy Levitt's EcoWater, SoCal. Pre-game show gets underway at exactly 5:40. And I also want to mention that we're going to give away 2 tickets to tomorrow night's Padre Cardinals game on this show, probably in about an hour or so. All right? Just making sure you don't go
anywhere.
An hour,
okay.
About an hour or so. We're going to give away a pair of tickets, so you need to be listening to participate.
I also, Chris doesn't even know this, but I have a massive Scraby Show announcement on Wednesday.
Scraby Chronicles?
Yes.
Because
they're going to be on Wednesday and Thursday and possibly Friday, depending how long the game goes, because it starts at 1:30.
Okay.
I don't know that we're going to have Gwen and Chris, anyway. Wednesday, I'm going to be announcing a huge thing, and it's going to be...
During the Scraby Chronicles.
Yes, all for the Scrabinators.
Can't wait.
Yes.
The Scrabinators are...
It's been a month of trying to get this under approved.
Okay.
And it's been approved, and I thank everybody. I'll give you more information on Wednesday.
All right. Very good, Scrabe.
Yeah.
Also, keep it here throughout the show today. One of the most highly anticipated women's college basketball games ever played... is being played at 4:00 today.
Is that Iowa LSU?
It is.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember a game that's ever been more anticipated than this in women's college basketball.
I mean, I even knew about it.
I think most people do.
Since last year, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese had made me pay attention to women's basketball more.
They've made a lot of people pay attention to it, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment. But it has created quite a bit of... interesting narrative. I don't know if you saw the story in the LA Times this weekend.
Oh, about Kim Mulkey?
Not that one.
Oh.
That was in the Washington Post. The Washington Post wrote a story about Kim Mulkey.
Oh, something with UCLA. Yeah, there were two things that came
out. But in the LA Times, they wrote an article about the good girls versus the, quote, bad girls, UCLA, and referring to LSU as the, quote, bad girls.
Oh, gosh.
And that has not been received well.
The article has not been received well.
No, it has not.
Have you read it?
I haven't read that, but I read one written by a really highly respected writer by the name of William C. Roden on ESPN today, talking about the misogynistic type of stuff that's being written about women's basketball right now.
Wow.
And it is creating quite a stir. So we're going to get into that a little bit because I think it's, you know, LSU's a little polarizing.
Yes, they are.
They certainly are. But I don't know that they deserve some of the treatment they're getting.
Here's my complaint, my daily gripe, if you will. Mm-hmm. When you have big, massive articles come out that you want everybody to read, don't put it behind a paywall. That's why I haven't read the Washington Post article yet, because I can't get behind the paywall unless I pay.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I see exactly what you mean, but that's a good gripe.
It seems like just a big money grab at that point.
Feels like a fair gripe to have. But I think LSU has some gripes right now.
Okay.
And we'll delve into that a little bit in about 15 minutes. But first, Daily Gambit. Let's go.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please gamble responsibly. You want to hear something crazy, Chris? I was playing MLB The Show over the weekend. Getting better, getting to the point where I'm ready to challenge people in maybe a week or so.
Okay.
But I was playing, like, it's called, like, Road to the Show, and you play your own guy, and you play up through the minor league characters, and it was teaching me how to hit.
You yourself were trying to make it to the big leagues?
Yes, I'm a center fielder. I'm great. Oh, I'm a switch hitter as well.
Of course, you might as well. I mean, if you're going to make yourself, you know, a player.
You got to.
You might as well be a five-tool player, switch hitter, great arm, speed, power.
I finally get to the show. I finally get the big call-up.
Yeah.
You know who's in the lineup with me?
No.
Was like the strangest thing ever. Charlie Blackmon was somehow on the Padres. Wouldn't that be the weirdest thing in the world if Charlie Blackmon became a Padre?
That would be pretty weird at this point.
Yes. I think, this is sacrilege right here.
I think Charlie's just going to pass into retirement as a Rocky. He's still playing.
He is. I just saw him. That's why I brought it up. I saw him on TV getting struck out by.
And he'll probably still get 10 hits against the Padres this year.
Oh, but people are sharing their. Okay, so everybody else plays this Road to the Show, too, thankfully.
Got it.
Not just me and my embarrassing self. But anyway, I found that very strange. Okay, Daily Gambit. Let's get into it. Last week, we had Marquette -7.5 on the spread over North Carolina State. NC State, the darlings of the tournament.
Yes, they are.
We both picked NC State, and NC State didn't just cover, they won outright 67-58.
En route to the Final Four.
That's right.
Which they would achieve yesterday by beating the hated Duke Blue Devils.
They did.
And fouling Filipowski out of the game.
Sorry, like to hear that. No. Filipowski kind of brought it on himself once he did the whole tripping thing. Purdue, 5-point favorite over Gonzaga on Friday, and Chris chose Gonzaga, I chose Purdue. Purdue won by 12, 80-68. Yeah. At some point, Chris and I are going to debate Zach Edey and whether or not he's actually a good player, because I think he is after this weekend.
Well, I'll let you know why he might be a tad overblown right now.
All right. Houston, -4 over Duke. We both chose Houston. That was the wrong move because Duke won 54-51.
But you can't predict an injury like what happened to Houston. I mean, Jamal Shedd's an All-American player, and he left the game midway through the first half and didn't come back. And Houston was cruising when he went out of the game, and they just had no – he's their focal point for everything. So it was a really bad break for the Cougars. Duke took advantage. I'll give him credit for that, but – Duke was quite lucky to advance because I think Houston, just from what I had seen until he got hurt, had the far superior team. But that happens sometimes.
It does. It does. Tennessee and Creighton. Tennessee -3.5 on the spread. Chris chose Creighton. I chose Tennessee. Tennessee wins by 7, 82-75. I found out yesterday if Tennessee would have beat Purdue, I would have won my brother's bracket, and that didn't happen.
It did not.
It did not. That
it
was
could
unfortunate.
Have. It could have yep. if they had some different referees.
Oh.
I'll explain later.
UConn, 8.5-point favorite over Illinois. We both chose UConn, and we were correct. UConn won 77-52. They went on a 30-0 scoring streak at a point during the game.
Yeah,
they
I don't know that
incredible.
I've ever seen a 30-0 run like that before.
In this deep in the
in
tournament?
In this high of a level of a game, right. I mean, for the Aztecs to get beat by UConn was one thing. Illinois is a Power 5 powerhouse, and they got beat that bad by UConn. So the Aztecs have nothing to be ashamed of, obviously.
Nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
Next game was the women. Stanford -4.5 over the NC State women. You chose Stanford. I chose NC State. NC State wins 77-67. And finally, Iowa women against the Colorado women. You chose Colorado. I chose Iowa -7. They won by 21 points, 89-68.
You went 17-10 last week.
It's not bad.
Quite good.
It's not bad.
I don't even want to say my record. It was so bad.
Okay.
7-20.
Ooh. Ooh.
Painful.
Better be better. Better be better this week, Chris.
I don't think I can be worse this week.
Okay. I got one. I got
okay. What do you have?
Okay, I got one same game parlay that I picked.
Okay.
Starting as an easy one, +205 for the Padres. Padres need to just win on the money line. Jake Cronenworth needs a hit, and Matt Waldron needs 3 or more strikeouts. So,
wow.
Very easy one. Hoping that this one hits and I can build.
Jake, one hit.
Yes, and then Padres 3 plus win. Matt Waldron strikeouts.
What's that pay?
+205, so not much.
Well, you double your money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see if it happens. You didn't hit too many parlays last year.
I didn't.
Do you care to give a score of the game? I still hear from people all
me
the
too.
Time who want me to have you give scores of games. If you're wondering about that, 2 years ago, Scraby tried to pick the score of every Padre game and was unsuccessful all season
mm-hmm.
until like September 24th.
Literally picked every score of every
Took
game.
Took all season to pick one score correctly.
So many close calls, too.
Yeah, but it never happened. And I said at the beginning, it's really not easy to do. And you're like, oh, yeah, I can do it.
Oh, Tap says Machado owns the pitcher tonight. Should have rolled with him, Scrabe. Maybe
well,
I should have.
Let's see if that.
I was just going with Jake because he's on a streak.
Okay.
So there we go.
All right. Here we go. Iowa and LSU, the biggest college women's basketball game maybe ever, at least most highly anticipated. For a trip to the Final Four, Iowa's favored by 2 points over LSU. Now, the interesting thing, they're in a rematch of the national championship game here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same thing happened in the men's tournament. Aztecs played UConn
this year. Yeah.
That was
that
a rematch. That was a rematch of last year's men's championship game. So it happened on both sides.
That is strange.
Men's and women's. I'll let you go first. Do you like Caitlin Clark and Iowa? Or do you like LSU? Yoo-hoo.
See, since I didn't get to read the Kim Mulkey article, she was so adamant about it being a hit piece.
She was quite defiant.
It made me think that it wasn't a hit piece and it was truth because, I don't know, I got to read the whole
thing. It was pretty tame, I must
tell
you.
Pretty tame, and she was all mad. Do you think they took stuff out then?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think it was just her preparing for the worst.
Okay.
But I don't think it was, I thought it was almost complimentary, some parts of the article.
So do we have some skeletons in the closet she thought were going to be unearthed and they weren't?
I'm going to be careful commenting about Kim Mulkey because I think she has people reaching out all over the country. And she might be suing you and I after this show for all I know.
I'm just going to make the bet that
I'd assume not be sued by her.
I'm going to go with the best, I almost said baseball, basketball player of the country for the women, Caitlin Clark in Iowa.
Going with Iowa. Okay, I think LSU's got a better team, and I'll take LSU, +2. UConn plays USC tonight in the other regional final. This is another great matchup. Juju Watkins, the freshman sensation for the Trojans. Paige Beckers, about as good as it gets for UConn. I mean, you got 4 of the best basketball-playing women on the planet, all playing tonight. UConn's favored by 3.5. Despite the fact USC is the top seed.
I'm going to go with USC.
You're going to take USC.
Yep. Because UConn almost went down to Syracuse last game.
Or a couple games
two
ago.
2 games ago.
USC's looked good, but they have not been on this stage. UConn has.
Uh-oh.
I'll take
you
UConn.
You just make me feel like that was a bad bet, but
I went 7-20 last week.
Okay, good point.
Don't listen to me. On to baseball we go. Padres and Cardinals over under tonight. 8 runs total.
Ooh.
I will go with over. You've got two number 5 starters going. That normally leads to a little higher scoring game. With all due respect to Waldron and Kyle Gibson, some runs will be put up tonight. I'll say over 8.
All right.
What about you?
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm going to go
agree with me there. Okay, I know you love these spreads, so I got it for you. Boston Celtics, best team in the NBA. Take on one of the worst tonight, the Charlotte Hornets. It's in Charlotte. Boston is favored by 18.
Oh.
I don't know that I've seen a spread that high for an NBA game this year. Probably has been, but that's pretty high.
You know, every time I bet on the Celtics, I'm going to go with Charlotte to keep... No, I'm going Celtics.
Changed my mind 3 times in a span of 1 second there.
Trust me, I know. That's how it works with my head.
I feel like I'm hanging out with my wife the way you change your mind over there.
This is just an insight into what I go through.
Yeah. I feel like such an idiot if you take Charlotte plus the 18 and then at the end of the first quarter it's 47-10.
Which it could be.
Right? And then you think, what a dumb bet that was. But I just think at home, 18 points, I got to go with Charlotte.
All right.
I'll take them. And then finally, one of your favorite players is in this particular wager. Zion Williamson and the New Orleans, what are they though?
Pelicans,
yeah. I almost said the New Orleans Hornets, but that's an old...
Used to be.
Yeah. Zion Williamson and Devin Booker playing against each other tonight. Phoenix at New Orleans. Who's going to score more points? They both have the same total of 26.5. So who scores more? I'll say Booker.
Really?
Because Booker's a crazy scorer.
He is, but he can go cold.
You go Zion, your buddy?
I'm going to go with my guy.
Your guy, Zion.
He's been pretty good this year.
All right, I got to bounce back this week. I mean, 7-20. My goodness.
I have a fantastic conspiracy theory on Kim Mulkey and Washington Post that I just received on the YouTube chat. By the way, you can go watch our show. If you go to YouTube and search 97.3 The Fan, but the chat says this from Andros. Kim and the Washington Post were in on it together, and she hyped up the story so they could both make money. LOL.
Pretty sure that's not true.
That's the truth right
there.
Based
on what I'm reading about everything that's happening around this LSU women's basketball program. We'll discuss some of it next because I think it's interesting in the way it relates to just life in general. These kids are not being portrayed as they deserve to be portrayed. And we'll explain after traffic on Gwen and Chris.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let me start by saying this. As we come back to Gwen and Chris, 3:24 is the time. Chrisello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony down at Petco Park. Be rejoining us shortly for our AL East and NL East season baseball previews coming up at the bottom of this hour. Let me say this first. I'm not the world's biggest fan of Angel Reese, the basketball player. Great player. Not thrilled with all of her behavior on the floor. And she's not the only athlete that I find their behavior to be less than stellar. Also, want to say this. If you want to try to portray an image of being, quote, the bad boys, like the Detroit Pistons were many years ago, like the Oakland Raiders were, if you want to try to create an us versus the world mentality, which I think LSU's basketball team has done, be prepared that you're going to get a little criticism for it. Now, having said those things, the dirt, the trash that's being sent LSU's way right now is uncalled for. And the latest was the article in the LA Times over the weekend, which basically said, before LSU played UCLA for a trip to tonight's regional final, basically said UCLA is a bunch of milk and cookies, tremendous, wonderful kids. And I believe they referred to LSU as Louisiana hot sauce. Now, that was so offensive that even the LA Times, which was stupid enough to print it once, took it out of the story that you would now be able to read online. It's no longer there.
Several parts I've read are no longer there.
Several parts of the story are no longer there. The headline was UCLA versus LSU, America's Sweethearts versus Basketball Villains. I think there's a lot of people that are upset by all of this because LSU's kids are just young ladies that want to play basketball and go out there and, you know, compete. And I think a lot of it is misogynistic. I think a lot of it is bordering, if not racist. You look at LSU's squad, you look at UCLA's squad, you can draw your own conclusions. But it would be nice if tonight's game between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese were not looked upon on such diametrically opposite stories, and was just looked upon as a matchup of two really great players and two great teams reprising a fantastic national championship game that they played a year ago. And I think the thing that's upsetting a lot of people, fairly so, is that if this were a men's game and if these were men's teams, would the reaction and the writing be about this stuff, or would they be focusing on the game, which they're not doing as much on the women's side? It's interesting. There's a lot of articles that are out there on this stuff right now.
Yes, there is. I just went through some of them.
Yeah.
The guy who originally wrote it in the LA Times said they were as wholesome as a cuddly Bruin bear. It's like...
That was UCLA.
Yeah, yeah. The excerpts that I'm reading are just not good.
They're not fair. They're not fair. And anyway, Dawn Staley, who has their South Carolina team, she feels her team has been treated in similar respects by a lot of the media out there. These women just want to play basketball and be put on the same plateau and stage as the men.
But
and maybe they're not there yet. I get that. But I don't think it's fair to try to portray a convicts versus Catholics type
situation
like they did with, you know, the old Miami University football team against Notre Dame. This isn't what that is.
No, definitely not. You shouldn't be talking about that at all. But if you're going to talk about Angel Reese, you got to talk about Caitlin Clark, because she trash talks just as much as
Angel
Reese.
Just as bad, but she gets away with it. Angel Reese glances a sideways eye at somebody, and Angel Reese is a bully.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark trash talks a lot. If
she
you haven't
does.
Seen her play, watch the game tonight.
And she's not, I'm not going to say she's dirty, but she definitely flings some elbows around. She does, like everybody else does these things, but she is the star on the floor, and so people are watching her. I also think maybe I'm wrong. You could tell me, Chris, if I'm wrong. But Kim Mulkey of LSU maybe invites some of that criticism because of how she comes off to people at times.
As I told you, Kim Mulkey scares the daylights out of me.
I'm not saying anything bad about her. I'm just saying her personality
she might perceive it to be bad. She's pretty much like any major big-time college basketball coach. It's her way or the highway. She rules with an iron fist. And that seemed to be okay for the likes of, you know, John Thompson, Bobby Knight, Mike Krzyzewski, etc. People don't think it's okay for Kim Mulkey.
I also think that's not we're not in that time anymore. Like, coaches aren't what they were in the 90s and the 80s anymore. They're more of...
True enough, but Kim Mulkey's a little old school.
She is old school. There's nothing wrong with her.
She played in the 80s and 90s.
Sure. There's nothing wrong with
that. So I understand that she brings a lot of it to the passion with which she works. Look, LSU is the way they are. They don't apologize for it.
No.
And that's fine, because there's a lot of sports teams that don't apologize for the way they are. But I think LSU gets treated a little differently than a lot of other teams. And I I have a feeling it's because this is new to our sporting world. The rise, the powerhouse of women's college basketball. It's a great thing. But I don't think a lot of the journalists, the media out there are 100% ready for it.
In the end, though, even if the opinions are wrong and what is written are wrong and we don't agree with it, this is good for college basketball, women's college basketball, women's basketball in general.
But it'll be better for women's basketball when they report on tonight's game as a tremendous game and talk about the tremendous performances. And hopefully that's what comes out of this game
tonight. See, I don't see that from ESPN. Like, ESPN, they're breaking down the game. They're not talking about... Maybe the day after they're talking about what Angel Reese did to Caitlin Clark in the championship, but immediately after the game, they're talking about what happened during the game.
Yeah.
But I know that's not everyone.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, what comes out of tonight's matchup. But hopefully it's just a great basketball game. They get started in about a half an hour. That's LSU and Iowa. All right. On we go to baseball. And a look at the AL East and NL East. Season division previews is only we can do it on Gwen and Chris. If you love Mediterranean food, like I do, like Scraby does, like Tony does, try Spiro's authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. Also now at Petco Park. That's right. Field level down the third base line. Check out Spiro's at Petco Park if you're going to the game tonight. Grab yourself some Spiro's. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, together, Odyssey Palace Studios, Tony Gwynn Jr., Petco Park. And it's time for us to preview the AL East and the NL East. Before we do that, Pittsburgh Pirates trying to go to 5-0, leading at Washington 6-3, bottom of the eighth. How about this for all of you breathless fans? The Yankees play in Arizona tonight. Wait, that wasn't the breathless part.
Okay.
If they win, they'll go to 5-0. That's still not the breathless part.
Oh, jeez. Get this wrong.
They'll go to 5-0 for the first time since 1992. Thank you.
Wow.
Yankees could be 5-0 for the first time in 32 years.
And it's all because of Juan Soto.
Oh, boy. We're going to talk more about him in our AL and NL East Division previews, which are coming up now after traffic.
In lanes near Adams Avenue, it's mostly in that right lane. The daily jackpots at Viejas Casino and Resort are on fire. Players have hit huge wins with bets as low as 50 cents. Check out their jackpot winning smiles on the Viejas Facebook page. Want to join them? Who knows? Our next jackpot winner could be you. Viejas Casino and Resort. I'm Kelly Danik with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, there's that music again. That must mean it is time again to revisit our 2024 Major League Baseball preview. We have already, last week, taken care of the AL West and NL West. On Friday, we checked into the AL Central and the NL Central. So that leaves just two divisions for us to take a look at. So today, we are going to focus on the Gwynn and Chris program, the NL East and the AL East. And we will tell you who's going to win and lose these divisions and who the star players are going to be to get you ready for 2024. Scraby, lead us through today's proceedings.
Yes, thank you very much, Chris. Now, we're going to start with the American League East, which is kind of a tough division, everybody. I think
it usually is.
It usually is. So, Tony, you're first up. Who's going to win the AL East?
The Braves. Oh, that's... Nope, you said AL.
I can't tell if you're making a... You're playing a joke on me because of the whole Cubs thing.
I wish I could say it was a joke. I was just thinking... I'm looking at NL. You said AL.
That okay, it's okay. It's all right.
I think the Yankees win. The AL West. The AL East, excuse me. I just think that they are poised to have the type of season that they've been expected to have over the past two seasons. I think they have the right mix of young guys now mixed with the veterans that they have. I like their pitching rotation when it really boils down to it. I mean, without Cole, you still have Rodon. You have Stroman. You've got Cortez. And that's before you even get to Cole coming back. So I like the Yankees to win. Obviously, you know, I think Juan Soto is going to win an MVP, and he's already off to a blistering start to this season. So I'm going to take the Yankees.
All right, well, I'm going to put Juan Soto in your MVP spot.
Yeah, go ahead. Throw
also,
that
what about the newcomer spot as well? I'm going to put him there unless you change it. Chris,
yes.
First place.
I can't pick Juan Soto or the Yankees. I can't pick the Yankees even without Juan Soto because they still are the Yankees. They have a lot of injuries. I don't know when DJ LeMahieu is coming back. We don't know when Cole's coming back. I think the Orioles are ascending, and they won more games than the Dodgers did last year. That's how good the Orioles were, and I think that they're going to be hungry after an early elimination in the playoffs. Too many good young players and the addition of Corbin Burns. Baltimore wins the East again.
All right. I'm definitely drinking the Kool-Aid, too. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Orioles because of my guy Adley Rutschman, Ryan Mountcastle, Corbin Burns, all those guys. Chris, your last place team in the AL East.
Well, this is a lot more difficult. I think Boston is kind of the team that most people are picking last just by process of elimination. But I'm going to give the Red Sox a little love here. Let them climb out of the cellar finally at long last. I just don't know how Tampa Bay is going to be the one that comes in last, but somebody has to do it. So I'm going to just say that all of the magic that the Rays have had for the last decade is finally going to disappear. So wow. I will take Tampa Bay to finish last. Doesn't mean they might not win 82 games, but I'll pick them last.
Wow. You know, I thought I was going to go out on a limb when I also picked the Tampa Bay Rays to come in last.
Okay.
Like you said, I think it, like every team has that year where they kind of step back for a second and then they reevaluate. Right, Tony? You like those words? Reevaluate, step back
sure,
for a second?
Sure. We can go with it.
So I have the Rays. Who do you think is going to finish in last in the AL East, Tony?
I think it's Boston and I don't think it's close. I think they have punted on this season for the most part. And they deserve their fate.
That's a good line. They deserve their fate. All right, MVP of the division. I'm up first. I'm going to say Adley Rutschman, just because he was great last year. He's going to be on the team that comes in first. And he's very important to that team. Adley Rutschman. Tony? Oh, you already won Soto. Sorry.
Yeah. You already know what it is.
Yeah. Chris?
Well, they've already started etching his name in the trophy after the weekend he had. So
as they should.
Yeah. I'll go with an Oriole as well, but I'll go with Gunnar Henderson to step up into the spotlight this year. I think they're all going to lead the Orioles. Some great players in this division. I just, you know, I can't pick Soto because it would be too painful for Padre fans to see him just run away with an MVP. But
as you said, it's already happening.
It's already happening. Vladimir Guerrero needs a bounce back season in Toronto. Rosarena is, to me, is a dark horse. I think he's really one of the better players that people don't talk about. But I'll go with Gunnar Henderson here, Baltimore.
You know, one more thing about the Rays coming in last place. They've lost Wander Franco, and he's not coming back. So
yeah, but they lost him last year, and it didn't seem to matter.
I mean, they didn't do... you're right, but still, he's a huge loss. Cy Young of the division, Tony.
Is it me already?
Yes, it is.
All right, you can't pick Juan Soto for this, Tony.
I know.
No, you're right.
He's not Shohei Ohtani yet.
He might actually.
You're right. He can't. He's not. He's not playing both ways. So I'll have to. I'll have to. How about Corbin Burns? Yeah. I think he's got. He's due for a good. You know what? No, I'm going with Mr. Rodon. Rodon.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going with him. I think he's poised to have a big year. Why I'm picking him is because the last couple times he has had his back against a wall, whether it be his last year in White Sox when he put up that good year, whether it be the one year he pitched for the Giants, he pitched pretty well for him. I think he is going to have a terrific season. Carlos Rodon.
All right. You know, I was out until you made good points there about him with his back against the wall. So
we'll see.
Yes, we will. Chris, who do you think, Cy Young?
Corbin Burns. I think he steps above everybody in this division. I've fallen for Kevin Gausman in the past.
Me too.
And I'm tired of falling for him.
But he's the leader for the Cy Young odds right now.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna go with Corbin Burns.
Me too.
Coming
Corbin
in hot Burns. From
I was
Milwaukee.
Gonna try to be different, but I'm just gonna go with the guy that sticks out.
I think Corbin Burns ought to grow his hair out again. He looks just like everybody else now.
Maybe he left that in Milwaukee.
He was easier to spot when his hair was straggling down his back.
All right, Chris, your newcomer of the AL East.
Newcomer of the AL East. I'm going to go with the Yankee, but I'm going to go with Marcus Stroman just for fun. Well, I mean, four games doesn't make a season. I know Juan Soto's off to a great start. It is possible that he isn't, you know, the next Babe Ruth. I mean, it's possible.
You ain't giving this dude no credit. Yeah. Bob, the disrespect is ridiculous.
I like it.
Sorry.
Chris does not like Juan Soto.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's just my vote.
I don't like him. But I don't want to vote for him.
I have.
To be honest.
Yeah, be honest.
What, I don't like him and I don't want to vote for him?
Is that your take? Are you sticking to it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sticking to it. I'll take Marcus Stroman instead.
All right. I'm going to say Juan Soto. I have to.
Go ahead.
Even if he has a half season of what he did in the first four games.
I mean, the thing is, you don't really like him that much either, but you're...
I know.
You're just giving in anyway. You're not standing by your thoughts.
It's not my thoughts on Juan Soto, the ball player. It's my thoughts on how the media covers him and the Yankees. I hate it.
All right.
Tony's already said Juan Soto. Okay. All right. We're going to finish this one out. All of our picks are going to be in after this. The National League East. Chris, who's winning it all?
National League East, they're the best team in the league. So
Did we do that?
No.
We've done National Central League.
You started to do the National League East.
Sorry.
You did. The Braves?
They're the best team in baseball, I think, overall, from top to bottom. I don't see a weakness anywhere.
Sorry. Really thought you were going with the Nationals here.
I was thinking about it.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Braves, too. Tony, first place.
Bravos.
All right. Last place, me. I'm going to say the Nationals, even though I feel like they're better than they are. They're not that good. So, Tony, what's your last place team?
You know, the way they started off this year, crying about everything, I'm going with the Mets.
I like that.
Okay.
Last place team, Mets. Because, you know, they kind of deserve this fate, too. They punted on this season after fake going for it for 2 months. Yeah, they better be careful now.
Big Frank is the guy who Padre broadcasts.
That's all right. Big Frank, you know what's up. You a Mets fan. You've been a Mets fan. You should be expecting this, son.
He is, actually. Yeah. We talked to him.
Yeah, he's always very depressed about
it. Oh, he's given up already. They're, 0-3 coming into today.
Wow. And they've been beat up by the Brewers.
Yeah.
Chris, last place.
I say the former Padres for the Nationals start to come around a little bit.
Okay.
C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore. Make it a little more painful for Padre fans
this year.
James Wood comes up at midseason. I'm going to go with the Marlins. If you look at the Marlins last year, they were like 35-1 in one-run games. That's just not going to happen this year. They defied explanation last year. They were the opposite of the Padres. They had an amazing season based on winning a lot of close games. I think it goes the other way this year. I'll take the Marlins to come in last.
All right. Tony, you're up. Who's the MVP of the NL East this year?
Man, I would love to go with somebody else, but I just think you can't. The kid out in Atlanta, Mr. Acuña, I think this dude is already doing craziness watching him play in that Philly series. So it looks like he's picking up right where he left off. I'm going with Ronald Acuña.
Chris, yours?
Well, there's some competitors here. One of the guys that has fallen off of that list of potential MVPs is Trey Turner. I remember when he used to kind of be in that conversation. Don't really find him to be in that conversation anymore. Pete Alonso, talk about crazy things. Matt Olson, I mean, he had some monster numbers last year, but ultimately Acuña is the best player in the division by quite a long shot, so I'll stick with that.
Well, I'm going to go with someone different, just because maybe Acuña slows down a bit, but Matt Olson, did he have over 50 home runs last year?
I think
he played every single game, too.
He had 100 million RBIs, too.
100 million. On that team. Well, yeah. That team, yeah, just drove in everyone.
Matt Olson was awesome last year.
All right, Chris, Cy Young of the division.
Cy Young of this division, I always like to go with Aaron Nola. He's like one of my favorites. But
signed a huge contract.
Yeah, I think he's that's not good. The other guy signed a big contract too, Dan Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler.
I always call him Dan Wheeler. Just to be Dan Wheeler was a pitcher for the
I remember Dan Wheeler.
The Padres somewhere along the line.
I keep calling Tyler Wade Taylor Ward.
Yeah,
so.
Well,
I keep calling Jared Jeff. So
Jeff Goff. We all do it. So I'll go with, having said all that, Spencer Strider.
Oh.
He's the best pitcher in the division, again, by a wide margin. The Braves have the best of everything.
Your fantasy pitcher, too.
Yeah, well, that he's going to overcome that.
Okay.
And still win the Cy Young in the division.
Mine's Spencer Strider as well. Tony, who's your Cy Young?
I mean, we're all going to pitch Strider. I want to say, do we have a newcomer? No, we don't have a newcomer. Let's go. Nah, go Strider. Strider's the guy.
Chris Sale's a newcomer.
He is. Yeah, Strider's the guy.
He is. All right, final category, newcomer of the National League East. I'm up first. I'm going to go with a bravo. Jared Kelnick.
Mr. Kelnick.
He was a highly touted prospect. The reason I know all this is because he was on my fantasy team last year. Did some good things in the beginning of the year. Fell off late. And now he's doing great things again in the beginning of this year with the Braves. So him. Jared Kelnick.
So him.
Jared Kelnick. Tony, who do you think is the newcomer?
Newcomers.
I'm trying to think of somebody different.
Yeah. There's really not a whole.
There aren't a lot of newcomers in this division. I see J.D. Martinez. I see Whit
Merrifield.
You know
what I'm going with? How about Tim Anderson with the Miami?
Oh, Tim Anderson, yeah,
as a newcomer,
surprise
of the NL
newcomer
East.
Of the division. There you go.
How's Jazz playing so far?
He's
this
off
year?
To a good start.
Okay, so he's living up to what he was.
Oh, I take that back. He had a grand slam yesterday, which gave him 4 RBIs, but he's hitting a 143 right now. But it's early.
Grand slam's good though. Chris.
Yeah, J.D. Martinez is pretty good, but not in New York. Tim Anderson's, I think, an inspired pick.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to go with Jared Kelnick as well. Just in the middle of that lineup, he's just going to put up a bunch of numbers just by being there. So I'll go with him.
All right. Good call. That's it with our picks. We'll review these around the All-Star break. We'll also review them.
See how ridiculous they are. They all seem to
make
such...
They're always ridiculous.
I know.
They
seem to make such perfect sense when we do them.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get 3 months into the season, and it looks like we were smoking something the day we did the picks.
Smoking something.
What were you guys thinking?
Okay. Well, you can join us for Chris versus the Fans if you would like. That's up next. 833-288-0973 for an additional prize along with your qualifications. So stick around to hear about that when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In lanes near Adams Avenue. It's mostly in that right lane. The daily jackpots at Viejas Casino and Resort are on fire. Players have hit huge wins with bets as low as 50 cents. Check out their jackpot winning smiles on the Viejas Facebook page. Want to join them? Who knows? Our next jackpot winner could be you. Viejas Casino and Resort. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
There's that music again. That must mean it is time again to revisit our 2024 Major League Baseball preview. We have already, last week, taken care of the AL West and NL West. On Friday, we checked into the AL Central and the NL Central. So that leaves just two divisions for us to take a look at. So today we are going to focus on the Gwen and Chris program, the NL East and the AL East. And we will tell you who's going to win and lose these divisions and who the star players are going to be to get you ready for 2024. Scraby, lead us through today's proceedings.
Yes, thank you very much, Chris. Now, we're going to start with the American League East, which is kind of a tough division, everybody.
I think it usually is.
It usually is. So, Tony, you're first up. Who's going to win the AL East?
The Braves. Oh, that's... Nope, you said AL.
I can't tell if you're making a... You're playing a joke on me because of the whole Cubs thing.
I wish I could say it was a joke. I was just thinking... I'm looking at NL. You said AL.
That okay,
was
it's okay. It's all right.
I think the Yankees win. The AL West. The AL East, excuse me. I just think that they are poised to have the type of season that they've been expected to have over the past two seasons. I think they have the right mix of young guys now mixed with the veterans that they have. I like their pitching rotation when it really boils down to it. I mean, without Cole, you still have Rodon. You have Stroman. You've got Cortez, and that's before you even get to Cole coming back. So I like the Yankees to win. Obviously, you know, I think Juan Soto is going to win an MVP, and he's already off to a blistering start to this season. So I'm going to take the Yankees.
All right, well, I'm going to put Juan Soto in your MVP spot.
Yeah, go ahead. Throw
also,
that
what there. About the newcomer spot as well? I'm going to put him there unless you change it. Chris,
yes.
First place.
I can't pick Juan Soto or the Yankees. I can't pick the Yankees even without Juan Soto because they still are the Yankees. They have a lot of injuries. I don't know when DJ LeMahieu is coming back. We don't know when Cole's coming back. I think the Orioles are ascending. And they won more games than the Dodgers did last year. That's how good the Orioles were. And I think that they're going to be hungry after an early elimination in the playoffs. Too many good young players and the addition of Corbin Burns. Baltimore wins the East again.
All right. I'm definitely drinking the Kool-Aid, too. I'm going to go with the Baltimore Orioles because of my guy Adley Rutschman, Ryan Mountcastle, Corbin Burns, all those guys. Chris, your last place team in the AL East.
Well, this is a lot more difficult. I think Boston is kind of the team that most people are picking last just by process of elimination. But I'm going to give the Red Sox a little love here. Let them climb out of the cellar finally at long last. I just don't know how Tampa Bay is going to be the one that comes in last. But somebody has to do it. So I'm going to just say that all of the magic that the Rays have had for the last decade is finally going to disappear. So wow. I will take Tampa Bay to finish last. Doesn't mean they might not win 82 games, but I'll pick them last.
Wow. You know, I thought I was going to go out on a limb when I also picked the Tampa Bay Rays to come in last.
Okay.
Like you said, I think it like every team has that year where they kind of step back for a second, and then they reevaluate. Right, Tony? You like those words? Reevaluate, step back
sure,
for a second?
Sure, sure. You can go with it.
So I have the Rays. Who do you think is going to finish and last in the AL East, Tony?
I think it's Boston, and I think it's close. I think they have punted on this season for the most part, and they deserve their fate.
That's a good line. They deserve their fate. All right, MVP of the division. I'm up first. I'm going to say Adley Rutschman just because he was great last year. He's going to be on the team that comes in first, and he's very important to that team. Adley Rutschman. Tony? Oh, you already won Soto. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. You already know what it is.
Yeah.
Chris? Well, they've already started etching his name in the trophy after the weekend he had. So
as they should.
Yeah. I'll go with an Oriole as well, but I'll go with Gunnar Henderson to step up into the spotlight this year. I think they're all going to lead the Orioles. Some great players in this division. I just, you know, I can't pick Soto because it would be too painful for Padre fans to see him just run away with an MVP, but
as you said, it's already happening.
It's already happening. Vladimir Guerrero needs a bounce back season in Toronto. Rosarena is, and to me, is a dark horse. I think he's really one of the better players that people don't talk about. But I'll go with Gunnar Henderson here, Baltimore.
You know, one more thing about the Rays coming in last place. They've lost Wander Franco, and he's not coming back. So
yeah, but they lost him last year, and it didn't seem to matter.
You're right, but still, he's a huge loss. Cy Young of the division, Tony.
Is it me already?
Yes, it is.
All right, you can't pick Juan Soto for this, Tony.
I know.
No, you're right.
He's not Shohei Ohtani yet.
He might actually.
You're right. He can't. He's not. He's not playing both ways. So I'll have to. I'll have to. How about Corbin Burns? Yeah. I think he's due for a good. You know what? No, I'm going with Mr. Rodon. Rodon.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going with him. I think he's poised to have a big year. Why I'm picking him is because the last couple times he has had his back against a wall, whether it be his last year in White Sox when he put up that good year, whether it be the one year he pitched for the Giants, he pitched pretty well for him. I think he is going to have a terrific season. Carlos Rodon.
All right. You know, I was out until you made good points there about him with his back against the wall. So
we'll see.
Yes, we will. Chris, who do you think Cy Young?
Corbin Burns. I think he steps above everybody in this division. I've fallen for Kevin Gausman in the past.
Me too.
And I'm tired of falling for him.
But he's the leader for the Cy Young odds right now.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna go with Corbin Burns.
Me too.
Coming Corbin in hot Burns. From
I was
Milwaukee.
Gonna try to be different, but I'm just gonna go with the guy that sticks out.
I think Corbin Burns ought to grow his hair out again. He looks just like everybody else now.
Maybe he left that in Milwaukee.
He was easier to spot when his hair was straggling down his back.
All right, Chris, your newcomer of the AL East.
Newcomer of the AL East. I'm going to go with the Yankee, but I'm going to go with Marcus Stroman just for fun. Well, I mean, four games doesn't make a season. I know Juan Soto's off to a great start. It is possible that he isn't, you know, the next Babe Ruth. I mean, it's possible.
You ain't giving this dude no credit. Yeah. Bob, the disrespect is ridiculous.
Get
out of here.
I like it.
Sorry.
Chris does not like Juan Soto.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's just my vote.
I don't like him. But I don't want to vote for him.
Go I have.
To be honest.
Yeah, be honest.
What? I don't like him and I don't want to vote for him?
Is that your take?
There
Are you sticking to it?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sticking to it. I'll take Marcus Stroman instead.
All right. I'm going to say Juan Soto. I have to.
Go ahead.
Even if he has a half season of what he did in the first four games.
I mean, the thing is, you don't really like him that much either, but you're...
I know.
You're just giving in anyway. You're not standing by your thoughts.
It's not my thoughts on Juan Soto, the ball player. It's my thoughts on how the media covers him and the Yankees. I hate it.
All right.
Tony's already said Soto. Okay. All right. We're going to finish this one out. All of our picks are going to be in after this. The National League East. Chris, who's winning it all?
National League East, they're the best team in the league. So
Did we do that?
No.
We've done the Central and
the. You started to do the National League East.
Sorry.
Yeah, you did. The Braves.
They're the best team in baseball, I think, overall, from top to bottom. I don't see a weakness anywhere.
Sorry. Really thought you were going with the Nationals here.
I was thinking about it.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Braves, too. Tony, first place.
Bravos.
All right. Last place, me. I'm going to say the Nationals, even though I feel like they're better than they are. They're not that good. So, Tony, what's your last place team?
You know, the way they started off this year, crying about everything, I'm going with the Mets.
I like that.
Okay.
Last place team, Mets. Because, you know, they kind of deserve this fate, too. They punted on this season after fake going for it for 2 months. Yeah,
you better be careful now. Big Frank is the guy who Padre broadcasts.
That's all right. Big Frank, you know what's up. You're a Mets fan. You've been a Mets fan. You should be expecting this, son.
He is, actually. Yeah. We talked to him.
Yeah, he's always very depressed about
Mets. Oh, he's given up already. They're, 0-3 coming into today.
Oh. And they've been beat up by the Brewers.
Yeah.
Chris, last place.
I say the former Padres for the Nationals start to come around a little bit.
Okay.
C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore. Make it a little more painful for Padre fans
James
this year.
Wood.
James Wood comes up at midseason. I'm going to go with the Marlins. If you look at the Marlins last year, they were like 35-1 in one-run games. That's just not going to happen this year. They defied explanation last year. They were the opposite of the Padres. They had an amazing season based on winning a lot of close games. I think it goes the other way this year. I'll take the Marlins to come in last.
All right. Tony, you're up. Who's the MVP of the NL East this year?
Man, I would love to go with somebody else, but I just think you can't. The kid out in Atlanta, Mr. Acuna, I think this dude is already doing craziness watching him play in that Philly series. So it looks like he's picking up right where he left off. I'm going with Ronald Acuna.
Chris, yours?
Well, there's some competitors here. One of the guys that has fallen off of that list of potential MVPs is Trey Turner. I remember when he used to kind of be in that conversation. Don't really find him to be in that conversation anymore. Pete Alonso, talk about crazy things. Matt Olson, I mean, he had some monster numbers last year, but ultimately, Acuna is the best player in the division by quite a long shot, so I'll stick with that.
Well, I'm going to go with someone different, just because maybe Acuna slows down a bit. But Matt Olson, did he have over 50 home runs last year?
I think he played
every single game, too.
He had 100 million RBIs, too.
100 million. That team. Well, yeah. That team, yeah, just drove in everyone.
Matt Olson was awesome last year.
All right, Chris, Cy Young of the division.
Cy Young of this division, I always like to go with Aaron Nola. He's like one of my favorites. But
signed a huge contract.
Yeah, I think he's that's not good. The other guy signed a big contract, too, Dan Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler.
I always call him Dan Wheeler. Dan Wheeler was a pitcher for the Padres somewhere along the line.
I keep calling Tyler Wade Taylor Ward.
Yeah,
so,
well, I keep calling Jared Jeff. So
Jeff Goff. We all do it. So I'll go with, having said all that, Spencer Strider.
Oh.
He's the best pitcher in the division, again, by a wide margin. The Braves have the best of everything.
Your fantasy pitcher, too.
Yeah, well, that he's going to overcome that,
okay,
and still win the Cy Young in the division.
Mine's Spencer Strider as well. Tony, who's your Cy Young?
We're all going to pitch Strider. I want to say, do we have a newcomer? No, we don't have a newcomer. Let's go. Nah, go Strider. Strider's a guy.
Chris Sale's a newcomer.
He is. Yeah, Strider's a guy.
He is. All right, final category, newcomer of the National League East. I'm up first. I'm going to go with a bravo, Jared Kelnick. He was a highly touted prospect. The reason I know all this is because he was on my fantasy team last year. Did some good things in the beginning of the year, fell off late, and now he's doing great things again in the beginning of this year with the Braves. So him, Jared Kelnick.
So him.
Jared Kelnick. Tony, who do you think is the newcomer?
Newcomers.
I'm trying to think of somebody different.
Yeah. There's really not a whole.
There aren't a lot of newcomers in this division. I see J.D. Martinez. I see Whit Merrifield.
You know what I'm going with? How about Tim Anderson with the Miami?
Oh, Tim Anderson, yeah,
newcomer,
surprise
of the
newcomer
NL East.
Of the division. There you go.
How's Jazz playing so far?
He's
this
off
year?
To a good start.
Okay, so he's living up to what he was.
Oh, I take that back. He had a grand slam yesterday, which gave him 4 RBIs, but he's hitting a 143 right now. But it's early.
Grand slam's good though. Chris.
Yeah, J.D. Martinez is pretty good, but not in New York. Tim Anderson's, I think, an inspired pick.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to go with Jared Kelnick as well. Just in the middle of that lineup, he's just going to put up a bunch of numbers just by being there. So I'll go with him.
All right. Good call. That's it with our picks. We'll review these around the All-Star break. We'll also review them.
See how ridiculous they are. They all seem to make sense.
They're always ridiculous.
I know. They seem to make such perfect sense when we do them.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get 3 months into the season, and it looks like we were Smoking like we something drinking. The day we did the picks.
Smoking something.
What were you guys thinking?
Okay, well, you can join us for Chris vs. the Fans if you would like. That's up next. 833-288-0973 for a... We have an actual, an additional prize along with your qualification. So stick around to hear about that when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.